Last week, we learned about the first I am statement that was out of John 6. And Jesus said what? Do you guys remember? He is what? Bread of life. These I am statements, as I was thinking about it this week, I'm like, these are really cool and very important for us to understand who Jesus is, right? His unique identity, his divine identity, and his purpose. All of these statements you're going to see over the next now 6 more weeks, just today and 5 more, you're going to see a different aspect of Jesus. And I love this. I love that we're doing this together. So come along with me here. But today, so we learned that Jesus was the bread of life. And today we're in John 8, just a couple chapters after Jesus makes that statement. And Jesus says, I made it real easy for you today. It's one verse. There is a little bit more to this verse. We'll get to it in a minute. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's what we're going to talk about today. Very simple, but very, very deep as I got to thinking about it this week, about Jesus being the light of the world. There are over 200 references to light throughout the Bible. Does that seem like a lot to you guys? A metaphor, light, darkness, throughout this book, there's 200 references to that. And to me, that's a lot, I think. That seems like a big number. I was kind of surprised, actually, when I was like, I wonder how many times light or the metaphor of light shows up. 200. Over 200 is what I found. I did not read them all. That's your homework for the week. But with that big surprising number to me, I was like, oh, well, from that fact alone, I can see that this metaphor, this word, light, this common theme is a major metaphor, if you will. I'll use that word again. A major metaphor that runs through Scripture. We see it pop up from time to time. You see it in the Old Testament. You see it in the New Testament. You see it in Psalms. You see it in the gospel writers, especially John. You see it in the major and minor prophets as they're predicting Jesus coming. And you see it in letters in the New Testament. You see it all throughout this entire book. An important theme, light, and light versus darkness. And what it does throughout Scripture, if you read all 200 of these things like you're going to this week, you're going to be able to see that it depicts certain things and aspects of God that we can, so we can get to know and understand God more. Holiness, his goodness, his knowledge, wisdom, grace, hope, and his revelation are just a few things that you might see as you're reading your 200, over 200 things about light this week through Scripture. And I could stand up here, because I have a lot of scriptures that I could go through, I could stand up here and go through for hours going over scriptures about light and specific ones. And I will reference some later, but I'm not going to do that for you today because, as I said, that's going to be your homework for the week. You'll do it on your own. But we'll touch base on those for a few, but I wanted to make sure and bring home the main point here of this introduction is the fact that light is very important and a very important theme through Scripture. And then Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Mind blown. So it's a simple verse, but I want to read the whole entire thing. 8:12. Because there's more to it than just that. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. He continues on and says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's unpack this. There's a lot of stuff in here. It's a bold statement. I'm the light of the world. And I was, as I read that today, or earlier in the week, as I was preparing for the sermon, I thought about a couple things about light in our physical world. And then as I was writing those things down, I'm like, oh man, that is so awesome. Those things can go to our spiritual life as well. And these are the three things that I thought of in the physical world about light that we're going to, because we know Jesus does this, right? He's not talking about the physical light, turn on a light, light a candle. He's talking about spiritual stuff, isn't he? So the three things I thought about in the physical world are, light is required for life and growth. 2, light is required to show direction for guidance. And 3, light is used to completely dispel darkness. So let's talk about those three things. Made a nice little outline for me for my little sermon today. The first one, light is required for growth and life. If you were to go to Home Depot or any other greenhouse today and pick up a plant and go and put it in the darkest room in your house, and shut the door, and somehow still be able to water this plant, without light over a few days, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die, right? We all know this. It's not going to thrive at all. In fact, depending on how long you let it go, it's going to die. Light is required for growth and life. It's required for vegetation to grow. We had a big tree on our property that recently, unfortunately, we had to take it down. It was a very sad day in the Shelson household. This tree was awesome, but it was not in good condition, and it was a danger, honestly, to our house and to our neighbors. So we made the decision. We had to get it taken out. And it provided a ton of shade. This was an old laurel oak, man. It was awesome. It provided shade to the neighbor, to our house in the front, and all over in our front yard was just always covered in shade. But there was something I noticed when we took the tree out. It's only been maybe a month or two, probably a couple months now, that the tree's been taken out. My front lawn, now that it has access to sun, it's like gangbusters out there, man. This lawn is growing like a weed that it is, and the weeds that it has. And being the lawnmower of the house, I'm not always super happy about that. But it really was a spiritual lesson. We have commented so many times as we're walking home, we're like, wow, look at the grass. The grass is growing in. It's thriving. It's living. It's got access to light. It's no more covered with shade, and now the lawn has access to light, and it is living its best life. Has anybody ever noticed also out in nature anything growing, but it's growing like at a weird angle, and you're like, why is it growing? Oh, because it's growing, what's it growing towards? To the light, the sunshine, the sun, S-U-N. That'll come in handy later. But stuff grows towards the sun and the light. It needs it to thrive. It needs it to live. I think you guys can all see where I'm going with this point. Jesus is the light of the world. We need it to need him to thrive, don't we? We need him to live. We need him to live our life to the fullest and our best lives, like my lawn is right now with the sun shining on it. We need to grow towards that light, towards the S-O-N. Well, I thought you guys were with me, and then suddenly, crickets. All right, that's all right. Our source of light from Jesus provides us life and growth. Just like plants that grow toward the sun, we should also be growing toward Jesus to get closer to him. Getting the light that we need in our souls, in our hearts, to have life and to live it fully. That's what Jesus provides, being the light of the world. He provides a way for us to live and to grow. The second thing I said was that light is required to show direction. I was specifically thinking about this in darkness, obviously. But I'm glad that the pilots, even when the light's out, when the sun's up, they can see the light for the runway when they're going to land a plane, right? So either way you go, light provides direction and shows us the right path. Any boaters in the congregation? Doggone it, I need a good friend with a boat. Oh, there's one. Gotcha. Boaters. They use lights to navigate so they don't run into shore, correct? And then also there's these channel markers. They're green and red. They like tell boaters where to go. Basically, it's a road on water, right? But it's got blinking lights up at the top so the boaters know where to go to be safe, to not run ashore, not to get caught up in shallow water. Light prevents aimless drifting. Back in the day, they used to use God-given light, the stars, to navigate properly, right? Now we use blinking lights or even a light on a GPS thing for them, right? If you ignore these lights, what could happen? It could be deadly. You could lose your vessel. You could lose your crew. You could lose your own life as a captain of the ship. If you just ignore the lights that are trying to guide you directly and give you proper direction, if you don't look and take heed to the lighthouse that's flashing to say, hey, there's a big rock over here, and you run right into that rock, it's going to be disaster for you, isn't it? Horrible consequences. And that's just some examples on a ship, on a boat. We can apply this to driving, the lights that we see for driving. Please pay attention to the lights for driving. Yellow does not mean speed up to get through the light. Or flying a plane. Anything you're doing where you need direction. And these lights are there for purpose, and they keep you safe from harm, don't they? I know you guys know where I'm going with this. Jesus being our light to show us direction. Jesus is the light we need to avoid crashing into obstacles and causing deadly accidents for ourselves and others. Jesus is the light to keep us safe from harm and to keep us from crashing our life or crashing in life. In our relationship with him, we learn how to love. We follow his directions, right? We learn how to love. We learn how to love God. We learn how to love others. We learn how to behave, how to have patience and wisdom and understanding and knowledge. When we have him as the light of our life, we have proper direction at all times, and he keeps us safe from harm. He's the light used to show us where to go. Just follow Jesus' lit little roads. He'll take you there. He's the light. Let him guide you. So, Jesus is the light that's required for life. Jesus is the light that's required to show us direction in our life. And then the last one, light is needed to dispel darkness. The word dispel means disappear. I think it's really cool that one thing disappears when the other thing just shows up. Darkness is gone when light comes. Light makes darkness disappear. We turn a light on to see what we need to do, right? In the good old days, you would light a candle or a kerosene lantern, depending on how old you are in here.
Not asking.
Yeah, not asking anyone. Have you ever been somewhere that was so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? Tasha and I went to a state park in the Panhandle in March. It's called Florida Cavern State Park. I would highly recommend it if you want to go and you're okay with really underground dark places. But it's an underground cave system that you can go through, and they've got all the flowstones, stalagmites, stalactites, all the ites of rocks that you want to see. It was awesome. It was like a 45-minute tour. And you go down into the earth, and there is no more light. Luckily, they've got some lights, the CCC. You guys know who that is, the Civilian Corps something from the 30s, thank you. Put some lights, they dug out some things and made tunnels and stuff and put some lights up for us, thank goodness. As we were on this tour in the middle of the earth in the panhandle of Florida, they decided they wanted to show us how dark it would be. And they turned the lights off. And man, it was dark. Almost to the dark point, I was like, please someone turn a light on quick. Like, it was probably 15 seconds, maybe 20. I was like, yeah, okay, we can turn the light on now. You really couldn't see anything in front of your face. But man, once they turned that light on, darkness was gone. It disappeared. We could see again. Oh, thank goodness. Let's go look at some rocks, you know? It was great. There was relief that happened, at least for me, when the lights turned back on and we had no more darkness. Jesus is the light to dispel your darkness, whatever that darkness is for you. Spiritual darkness, mental darkness, physical darkness. When we're in the darkest of places in our life, where you can't see anything good, You've been in those places too, haven't you? We have the light of the world, and that's something that when we're in those dark places, we need to remember this. I'm the light of the world. And light dispels darkness. It's gone. It disappears. John 1, Pastor Tasha's favorite verse, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't understand it. Isaiah 9:2 says that people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. You've heard that at Christmas time, haven't you? He's talking about Jesus coming. He's prophesying the Messiah. On those, the verse continues, on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Ooh, the light turned on. No more darkness. We have Jesus now. Whatever darkness we may be in life or experiencing right now, I have no idea for you. Jesus is the light in that darkness that can help dispel that darkness. At the very name, and all you would need to say is, hey, I know the light of the world. Jesus is my light. Your darkness is gone. So, Jesus is the light of the world, but there's more. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The last part of the scripture, to me, is just as important as the first part, Jesus' I am statement. The last part of the scripture, we get two things out of it. The first one, we will never walk in darkness, Jesus says. We will never walk in darkness because he's here. He's the light of the world, which means we have a relationship with God, we have salvation, and all the great, awesome, marvelous things that come with a relationship with Jesus. And then it says also, the second thing, we will have the light of life. We won't walk in darkness, and we will have the light of life. Jesus tells us, well, let me back up and say this. If we have the light of light, the light of life, and the light is Jesus, then we have that inside us. And we have the opportunity, dare I say the responsibility, to shine that light. Jesus says in Matthew 14:16, this is in his great, the best sermon you'll ever hear, Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Darkness is gone. It's the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We have the light of life inside us because Jesus is the light of the world. He lives inside us. And now our responsibility is we have to show that light to others. You then, we, this church, is a place to show Jesus' light, the light of Jesus. So then that means we, through the help of Jesus, obviously, not on our own power, but by Jesus, we help people grow and thrive. You, through the help of Jesus within you, can help guide people to Jesus and to teach people about Jesus and what he says. We can help eliminate darkness in this world, being the light that Jesus wants us to be, because Jesus is the light that lives inside us, and now we go out in the world and do it. We shine it. All because we have Jesus, the light of the world inside you. I mean, Saturday night, we're going to have to sing This Little Light of Mine. So come to Saturday Nights Alive, right? It's great. Jesus is the light of the world. Look at all the things that we get from him being the light of the world and saying, I am the light of the world. But it doesn't do a doggone thing if we then just say, yeah, I got this light, and we don't do this, do for our world and our church and our people that we love what Jesus does for us individually. Does that make sense? Good. So I expect you all to be the lights of the world this week, yes? Awesome, because you have the light of the world inside you. I want to close with this because my mind was blown, and I'm sorry that I nerd out on Jesus, okay? Like, that's just who I am. Sometimes I come up and study, and then I come home, I'm like, ooh, Tosh, I got to tell you this. And she's like on a conference call on the computer. I'm like, put everything away. I got something to tell you. Hang up with your boss. We don't care. It's true. I want to. But anyway, I came home this week after reading about this, and I want to just share this with you because I was very excited about this. Okay. So I like a lot of times, as you guys know, to read scripture before and after to see what's going on in Jesus' world when he's saying these things and who he's talking to. What's going on? What's the audience? In chapter 7, if you go into chapter 7, because we're in chapter 8 today, right, of John? If you go into chapter 7, we see that Jesus is in Jerusalem celebrating the Feasts of Booths. It's also called the Feast of Tabernacle, Tents, or Ingathering. I grew up Southern Baptist, and we had ingathering every single year. I knew that word. I was like, okay, yeah, I got you. The last day of this festival, this Feast of Booths, is recorded, it says in Scripture, in chapter 7, verse 37. Now, let me tell you what the Feast of Booths is. It's an eight-day festival in which Jewish people lived in booths or tents that they made in fields outside the city or on rooftops. I think that's so cool. They would build these, what I read were leafy tents, so they would just put stuff together that they could, and they would live in these tents to remember and pay homage to their ancestors doing this as they wandered around in the desert. During this festival, also, and this is where I really started nerding out on Jesus, there were large menorahs that were lit in the temple complex. We all know how important the temple complex was in the culture and the people at the time, right? So in this temple complex are menorahs lit up everywhere, and for a lack of better terms, it's lit up like a Christmas tree in there. Okay? Menorahs everywhere, candles everywhere, it's all lit up. And those menorahs are lit up commemorating the pillar of fire that burned at night that guided the Israelites. And also, it was in anticipation of the Messiah that was to come. The Messiah that they prophesied about that was to bring light to all nations. Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. 20 short verses in John after this festival has wrapped up. The people have been walking through the temple and have been seeing all the lights everywhere. This was on their mind. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. To me, this was when I nerded out. This is no coincidence that this is the time that Jesus dropped this line. Last week, we talked about Jesus being the bread of life. And when did he say that? Immediately after they had bread. Now they've been around for 8 days celebrating this festival of booths and seeing lights. And Jesus is like, oh, by the way, I'm going to drop this nugget. I'm the light of the world. Isn't that awesome? You guys nerding out like I am? Or is that just for me? Jesus uses example after example of the physical stuff that's going on in the world to explain who he is. Some people didn't get it. Some people did get it. And I really hope today that you're really truly understanding this phrase, I am the light of the world, has such a deep meaning. Through him, we grow and have life. Through the light of the world, we can stay on track and have direction in our spiritual path, on our spiritual road, or our spiritual journey. And our personal darkness is dispelled with the light of the world. And then through this light of the world, we know that we can live eternally in the light. And then we also then assume the same responsibility to show that light of Jesus that we have inside ourselves out to others and out into this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dear God, I thank you so much for this lesson today. I thank you so much for being the light of the world and being in each of our lives, God. God, I pray that this week we can really reflect on all the ways that you are the light of the world and the light in our lives. And God, I just pray that each individual in this room shines their light out into this world, and that this church stands in this community as shining your light out into this world, God. Help us to remember that you are there and you are the light of this world. Whenever darkness comes, whenever we need direction, whenever we feel like we're not growing and we're kind of just there, help us to cling on to these words, just saying the name of Jesus and putting you back at the forefront of our mind and saying, oh yeah, Jesus, I got you. You are the light of my world. We're so grateful for this I am statement that you made in John and what all it means for us. Help us, God, just live it out. Help us live it out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.